Hello, and we're at double digits. Welcome to episode 10 of the Broncast, the official Cal Poly Pomona Athletics podcast. I'm your host with the most, Tyler Lobe, the Cheesy Assistant Athletics Director for Communications here at CPP. This week's podcast features members of the Cal Poly Pomona track and field team. I sit down with head track and field coach Chris Bradford, seniors Kyle Lawson and Imani Williams, and sophomore Ayanna Fields. We revisit the week that COVID-19 canceled all NCAA competition, including indoor track nationals in Alabama, chat about how student athletes and coaches mentally and physically prepare for meets, why the pandemic has made it tougher on learning in a virtual environment, all before we learn the state capital trivia doesn't come easy to everybody. Here it is, episode 10 of the Broncast. Another episode of the Broncast brings in members of the CPP track and field team. Let's begin with some introductions, starting with Chris.
Hi, everybody. Chris Bradford, head coach for men's and women's track and field. It's my fourth year at Cal Poly Pomona. Doesn't quite feel like that because we had a strange third year, but fourth year here. Originally from Elmhurst, Illinois, just outside Chicago. And got my coaching start at Augustana College, now Augustana University in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Was there for 6 years, working with the cross country and track team there. Then moved on to Western Colorado University. And I was the head track and field coach there for 8 years before came here to Cal Poly Pomona. That's kind of my path.
All right. Thank you. And Kyle.
Hi, I'm Kyle Lawson. I'm from Clovis, California. I'm a civil engineering degree, technically a 6-year student now, hoping to get that last year of eligibility in. I would like to work in civil engineering, possibly get my engineering license after school.
Great. Ayanna.
Hi, my name is Ayanna Fields. I'm a third year majoring in kinesiology. Plan to go to grad school to become a physical therapist. And yes.
Great. And Imani.
My name is Imani Williams. I am a fifth year now. I grew up in Escondido, California. It's in San Diego County. And my plan after graduating is to go to law school and hopefully practice family law.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being here, everybody. First off, I'm going to go right to Ayanna, and then Chris, you can also jump in on this as well, because you two were the ones who went to Birmingham, Alabama for the Indoor National Track Championships in March. And that's when we ended up seeing this pandemic come into fruition, and eventually everything was canceled. You guys got there, trained on the track, and then a couple of hours later, just the day before the track championships were supposed to start, got canceled and you're headed home. Ayanna, take me through your thoughts, your emotions as you kind of went through that weekend.
Well, when we got there, I was really excited. I was like ready to compete, warmed up, practice. Felt the track, looked at the area. I was like, you know what? I got this ready. And then I looked at Coach Bradford. And I was like, oh, he's looking at his phone. I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm just keep doing my thing. Hopefully get to compete. And then he's just like, just looking at me. And I'm like, oh gosh, yeah, we're going home. And I was like, you know what? It's okay. We'll get it next year.
Well, that's great attitude right there. That's for sure.
Yeah, that was the craziest part. Like, I'm down in the dumps. I'm really upset. And Ayanna's the one kind of picking me up and picking my spirits up. Like, oh, don't worry about it, coach. We'll be back here next year. I'll get it then. So it was a crazy couple of days. But having Ayanna there was just an amazing experience, and really proud of the attitude she had.
Ayanna, you were going to compete in the 200 meter and the 400 meter, the first and only CPP women's student athlete to qualify for indoor nationals, since this was the first year of indoor nationals. What were you, without thinking of the COVID thing, what was your mindset and preparation going into that weekend?
Well, I just kind of want to kind of take it as like a regular track meet, just to just do my thing, just to go out and make sure I execute at all my races, make sure I do everything properly. Yeah, just to make sure I get it.
Now, Kyle, going back to the 2019 season, you earned your first All-America honor. You placed sixth in the nation in the decathlon at the NCAA championships in Texas. You were then poised to go back to nationals this past spring and got off to a good start in February. You set an NCAA provisional qualifying mark in the decathlon, scoring 6,833 points up in Chico. And then when the spring came to a halt, it was still early in the season, but you still led the nation in that event. How ready were you to compete for the individual national championship, and how upsetting was it to find out later that you weren't even going to have a chance?
I was pretty frustrated, to be honest. I felt ready to go. I felt like I had a really bad meet at Chico. It was probably the worst day one that I had in some time. I honestly didn't really want to finish the meet. Like, it was going so bad that I remember having conversations with Coach Macy and Coach Bradford, and it was not a good meet for me. But then I came back and set pretty close to my best day two ever. I hit a PR mark in the discus. I vaulted my second highest vault in pole vault during a decathlon. I had a good javelin throw. My hurdles were quality. So, coming back from having such a horrible day one to having this huge day two, I really felt like I was going to be really strong going into the next one. And I was just looking forward to Brian Clay at Azusa and just ready to turn it on. That's a huge meet for decathletes. So I felt good. I felt like I was in shape. I was getting faster every week. I was getting stronger every week. Like, everything was coming together. So it was pretty frustrating to hear the news. For me, it felt even more difficult because I was finishing my degree in spring. That had already been my fifth year. I'd already taken a redshirt year, and I did a redshirt year during my junior season for the sole reason of having two chances to be an All-American. Since I was a late comer to the decathlon, I took that redshirt year in hopes to have two chances. And so when that was taken away from us, it was really difficult to deal with. And as everyone knows, we're still kind of waiting and figuring out what will happen. But I'm staying ready. And if we get that chance, then I'm going to take advantage of it.
You know, it's amazing what a night's sleep does to your mindset after maybe such a brutal first day in the decathlon, and then you come back and you feel refreshed, and then you go out and have your best pretty much day ever. Being the decathlon, and I wish I had this, I'm pretty sure I have this correct. 9 events. Is that correct?
10
events. I guess that makes sense. Decathlon. Got it. Okay. So how long does it take for someone like you, or even anybody who competes in the decathlon, how long does it take for you to recover from something like that? Because it's not easy on your body. I know that for sure.
Yeah. The quickest turnaround I've had, I think, was about 2.5 weeks. So we did Brian Clay, and I believe conference is like 2 weeks later. It might have been 3. And that's pretty much the quickest turnaround that I've had to do something explosive. Usually it's like, we'll finish the decathlon. The next week, it's a lot of like slow running around, a lot of stretching, maybe do some throwing events a little bit, but like, we're not going fast. We're not sprinting. We're not coming out of blocks. We're not lifting hard. We kind of get babied a little bit because we come off of 10 events and you're dehydrated and your muscles hurt and your whole body hurts. And it's definitely rough to come back from. I think everyone's a little bit different. Towards the end of the season, I feel like you recover a little quicker. So 2.5 weeks, I feel like you can be ready to go again. When it's a big meet like conference, that adrenaline kicks in and you're ready to go.
Absolutely. Imani, since last year was the first year of indoor track and field here at Cal Poly Pomona, you are the school record holder in the long jump with a mark of 18 feet, 1 inch. You set that the Mines Winter Classic invite way back in January. That seems like almost three or four years ago now. Obviously, you also compete in an outdoor track and field as well. What's the biggest difference between indoor and outdoor meets besides the obvious factor of wind and weather?
For me, I think it's one, the atmosphere, especially because the track is a lot smaller. So everyone's kind of just in one place. I mean, in outdoor, you can kind of warm up and be in your own little corner or anything like that and kind of have your own space next to the runway. But in indoor, it's just like everyone's packed in there. Like you're running down and you could see people's faces kind of like looking out. They're almost on the runway with you. So I think that's a really big difference, kind of just knowing how many people are in your space. Some people really like that. They like kind of like people watching them in the atmosphere. I don't know if that's for me, but I think I kind of just got used to it after the third time being there. And also the runways, I really like the runways more in indoor. They're bouncier. And so I feel like that kind of helped me too. And also just the team is a lot smaller, so you don't have all those people there maybe cheering you on, but it's kind of more of a close-knitted thing. So, you know, you don't have to run around the track as much to see someone compete. Like you're jumping and Aeon is there running the, what is it? I already forgot. Is it 60 or is it 100 still an indoor?
60.
Okay, yeah, and she's right there running the 60. So basically the team atmosphere and just everyone there is a little different. But I mean, I'll unfortunately never get the chance again, but I, you know, it was good too.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Running around to see, you know, all your teammates compete. Outdoor track and field meets have got to be one of the most exhausting things that anybody could ever go through, whether you're an athlete, maybe as a spectator like myself. I know that when I went to the Brian Clay last year and the year before, I was running around trying to get pictures and videos of everybody. And by like the middle of the second day, my mind and my body is drained. And I sit there thinking like, I still have all this work to do. And we still have a whole day and a half left. And then I also get to thinking like, well, these student athletes do it every weekend. How in the world are they able? I mean, maybe you're not running around taking pictures like I am, but you're, you know, still cheering on your teammates. You're there, you're outdoors in the elements. It's hot. It may be cold. It may be windy. It's definitely the most exhausting things that anyone has to go through. How do you guys keep yourself mentally and physically ready to compete in your events when maybe you spend a lot of your time just maybe sitting around waiting for your events? And I'll let any of you start with that. Don't speak up at once.
Start. I think you just have to be strategic about your time. If you know you have an event late in the day, you're going to watch maybe from the stands and kind of keep a low profile, but also making sure you're getting up, moving around a little bit. Like you're not just static the entire time. And then once your event's over, it doesn't really matter. You're not going to feel amazing, but you can go cheer on your teammates and you'll recover quickly. I think the huge advantage about outdoor track is we practice outdoor and we're outdoor a long time. During the fall, we spend a couple hours a day outside, and as the season moves on, it kind of gets longer and longer, so we're used to it and we train for it. And I feel like the coaches keep us prepared and teach us about how to manage our time during a track meet, how to manage our bodies.
I don't know, Monty, you guys have anything to add to that? How you guys stay mentally and physically ready for your events?
Just piggyback off what Kyle said, definitely practice prepares us for that. We're out there for a pretty long time. I know the multi-practice sometimes goes 4 hours. So, you know, all of us are kind of prepared for sitting in the sun, or even, you know, we'll have the pop-ups. So we also sit under those. Mentally, I think actually watching other events helps, just to kind of take my mind off of what I'm doing instead of being in my head about it. But also I think about an hour and a half before I kind of put myself in that mindset. Okay, like you're competing, you're starting to warm up. So kind of just having your own routine and knowing how you react to things and how you compete well. And again, for me, that's just watching other things before I have to get into that headspace. So.
I don't know. What about you?
Well, I do like about 4 events, sometimes 2 for certain meets. So if I do 4, then I'm doing the first event, the 4x1. Next, you know, I have like about a 30 minute to an hour break. So I'm just, you know, walking around, talking to friends, maybe look at other events that are going on. But then next, you know, I have to go warm up. So I just make sure that I keep that schedule in between each race and just make sure, you know, I just watch others and just kind of think about what I need to do for the next race.
And Chris, for you, you have about 150 student athletes sometimes that you have to kind of keep an eye on, but you also have your 4 assistant coaches that are there to help out with things. How do you and your coaches prepare and manage a track meet?
You know, it's kind of a circus that I guess you get used to. You know, you know that there's going to be 50 things going on at the same time. You know that there's going to be, you know, hammer throwers that might be 2 blocks away and you got to somehow get over there. You know, for me as a head coach, I trust the assistant coaches that they know what they're doing and they can handle the whatever problems pop up with the student athletes. And we trust our student athletes as well that, you mean they've been taught how to warm up correctly, how to, you know, manage their days correctly, you know, eating and recovering and staying out of the sun and all those things that kind of you mentioned. Like those are things that you have to learn, and those are things that we have to kind of talk about and prepare for. But for me personally, I you know, if there is downtime at a track meet, I don't know what to do with myself. So I enjoy kind of the chaos, and I enjoy the energy that I get. And then I think that these guys can bring to each other when good things are happening and they see a one of their teammates have a good performance. I think that really kind of can help, you know, get the snowball rolling for the day. And so, you know, I enjoy that. I enjoy kind of having, you know, great performances left and right. And that's the fun part of a track meet for me.
I'll piggyback off what you said about you enjoy the chaos and you kind of thrive on that. And I'll be honest, I do too. And so the last like 6 or 7 months, it's been tough. I know not just for me, but for all the coaches and all the student athletes just wanting to get back out there to compete. It's been tough. And, you know, talking about that, this question is for the student athletes, with COVID hitting, we've seen you guys have to pivot from in-person instruction to the virtual learning. How have you guys been able to manage that and handle it? And what do you maybe like about it? What do you don't like about it? Imani, sure, go ahead.
The way I've handled it, I feel like it's harder to keep up with deadlines and everything because you're not in person. There's not someone there telling you. So definitely keeping a schedule, having alerts on my phone all the time. I have like 20 alarms just for, oh, I have a midterm on that exactly this time, or I have a quiz, something like that. I personally am not a fan of online learning. I think I like being in person, having someone instructing me that's right there. It's a lot easier to get distracted. And then you have family, you know, they kind of forget you're in class. So they peek their head in. You're like, I'm like, Gary, you know? So that's kind of been difficult to control. But, you know, I guess it's what we have to do right now. So I'm getting through it.
Ayana, Kyle, any thoughts on that? On the in-person against virtual?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I can't stand it. I do not like being virtual. I never thought that I'd say that I miss going to class, but I truly miss going to class. It's difficult to stay on schedule. I think it's even more difficult to practice on our own, trying to go to a nearby high school and do the workouts. And like, I'm shuffling back and forth between a buddy's garage weight room and a high school weight room that, that I've been allowed to use. So like all this going around in circles and going back and forth between, class, which is now at home at my desk, to working out at my old high school, to lifting at a buddy's house, to going to normal day-to-day work down the street. Like, it just is different. And I do miss being able to get up and be in Chase's weight room at 6 a.m. and go home for an hour or so and come back and practice and then walk up the hill to class and go home, and, you know, my whole day being this little radius of Cal Poly and my house in Pomona. But I definitely miss it.
Well, we all miss you, that's for sure. And I know one person who does miss you guys very much so is Chase Sanders. Yeah, I know you mentioned him, head strength and conditioning coach. He just cannot wait until we are back on campus. He's definitely the one person that I know is just dying, just waiting to get back to get you guys back onto the weights and into conditioning and such. Kyle, two-time CASIDA Academic All-American. So you are a two-time All-American, kind of somewhat, but in the classroom, you're only the fifth student athlete in the 70-plus year history of Cal Poly Pomona Athletics across all sports to earn multiple Academic All-America awards. You have a 3.57 GPA, and you're a civil engineering major, as you mentioned right at the top of the broadcast. This is a two-part question. With as much training you have to do in preparation for decathlons, how do you find the time to keep your grades up? And now in this time of COVID, when most of the coursework is done online, I would think that most of the civil engineering stuff would be more of a hands-on type major. Am I kind of on the right path there? And how, I mean, if that is so, like, how has that been able to, how has that work?
Yeah. So I'll start with the first half. I think all multi, athletes are busy. And even the coach, I think Coach Macy is probably out there longer than almost any coach on the campus. She's out there all day. And so are we for a good amount. And Imani knows, she was a multi for a long time. And I think it just comes down to priorities. What's important. And for me, that's all about my athletic career is important. And I know that grades have to come with the athletic career. I think a big thing about being successful in school, is just planning and staying on top of it. That's how I've always treated it, is just plan out my days. I know that, okay, I'm not going to do homework tonight on a Friday night. Well, I don't get to watch college football on Saturday, so I'm going to be doing homework. So if I want to be able to do one thing, then I gotta be able to give and take. I think that's a huge part of it. And as far as the civil engineering stuff online, I'm in a little bit of a unique situation. I'm actually completed with my civil engineering degree, and I'm in a double major right now, which is the only thing that I'm doing online. So I have not experienced the civil engineering online except for the second half of our second semester last year. That was a little bit weird, like doing hands-on labs through an online platform was a little bit different, but that was such a short amount of time, so we kind of just made do.
Ayana, ever since this whole pandemic started, you're obviously have a very, very positive outlook on competition, on life. But this whole situation, being at home, not being able to go to class, train, and do all the things that you do normally, what's the hardest thing you've had to think about or deal with since March, when all this pandemic kind of changed life as we know it, class and athletics aside?
I just kind of miss like going to school. I kind of just like missing my teammates. So the hardest thing is kind of just getting that motivation to like work out a little bit, because seeing your teammates while practicing is like, you know, the best thing ever. You get to talk to them, and then you just get to work out, go on with your day, go to school. But since this has happened, you know, you just sit home, do your work, try to practice. It's kind of hard.
Well, you got one teammate at home, right?
Oh, yeah, my brother, Ryan Fields.
Probably get tired of seeing him every once in a while.
Yeah, he motivates me a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. Imani, what's the hardest thing that you've had to think about or deal with ever since this whole pandemic thing started and we've been kind of forced to stay at home?
Definitely, like everyone else said, practicing. I have no one around me, so I'm always like by myself practicing, and that's really hard to be motivated. Like they said, to get up and go alone, especially the harder workouts. You kind of gauge off your teammates when you're running, so you don't really know if you're going too fast or you're going too slow. So that's been hard. I've been doing it, but yeah, it's been difficult, and I do miss going into the weight room. I never thought I would say that. I hated 6 a.m. weights. 6:30, you know, Coach Chase is always screaming good morning, and I kind of just put my hood on, but I miss all of it now. So that's the track side of it has definitely been the hardest for me.
Have any of you picked up any new skills during this pandemic? Cooking, anything, singing, playing the piano.
Started golfing a lot more.
There you go. Okay. Anyone else? No. Okay. All right. Seeing a lot more Netflix stuff, I'm sure. Imani, you were going to say something?
I said I wish I did, but okay. Nothing has come out of this.
No cooking. No. You have you spent a lot of time eating out, or have you like made more food for yourself than you ever thought you ever would?
Now that I'm home, I kind of, you know, went back to my parents. So I don't cook. I cooked a lot more at school because I don't like cooking. Okay. So, you know, I guess I'm just feeding off of them now, I guess.
Got it. That's not bad. That's not bad. As long as they accept you and they want to do that for you. I like going home to my parents' house sometimes too, to, you know, cause you can expect that home cooked meal. Although my wife does a great job. I will say she does a good job at home cooked meal too. I got to throw that in there, but it's always nice to go home and get something from your parents that you had, you know, during your childhood. Okay. So we are going to move on to some kind of rapid fire questions. And what we'll do is I'm going to ask these questions, let you guys think about it for a second. And then we'll start with Kyle and then Ayana, Imani, and then Chris. Okay. So once I ask a question, you'll just think of something real quick and go ahead and say it. If you guys want to go ahead and unmute your microphones, you guys can do that this time, and then and we'll get started with these questions. You guys ready?
Absolutely.
All right. If you could instantly learn another language without studying it, which one would you pick?
German.
Say that again.
German.
German. Okay.
Spanish.
Spanish.
Yeah, definitely Spanish. I actually tried in high school and it didn't work. So
I took about 3 years of Spanish in high school, and hola is about really the only one that I can think of right now. Favorite genre of music?
Country music.
Hip hop.
R&B.
Like pretty eclectic. I kind of like them all, but like 90s hip hop.
NSYNC. Is that 90s hip hop enough?
Why not? Let's go with it.
Okay, all right, perfect.
If it comes up on shuffle, you're not changing it.
You know, I will, embarrassingly enough, I will listen to the NSYNC Christmas CD. No earlier than Thanksgiving, but it'll be on repeat all of December. I'm a big fan of NSYNC Christmas. Besides track and field and the events associated with it, what is your favorite sport to play?
I'd say golf or frisbee golf are probably my favorite to play, but I'm gonna throw my favorite to watch is football.
I was getting there. That's my next question. So save that one for the next question.
Basketball.
Volleyball.
I don't play very many sports anymore. I enjoy running. Like distance running or biking are also good.
Okay. Favorite sport to watch? Kyle, yours is football.
Basketball.
I guess I'd choose basketball.
I'd say football.
Okay. Would you rather have a sensitive nose or sensitive ears?
Sensitive in what way? Like I smell really well or I hear really well, or sensitive as in they hurt all the time or something?
That you hear very, very, very well or you smell very, very, very well.
I live with a lot of dude roommates my whole life. I'm gonna say hear very well. I'd rather hear than smell a bunch of smelly socks.
Hear well.
Hear well.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with hearing. Especially being outside, you know, at track meets and stuff.
I posed this question to baseball last week. And one of the guys said, yeah, he'd rather have a sensitive nose. And I had been on a bus ride with the baseball team before. And so I was surprised that he even said that. I get what you're saying, Kyle. What did you dress up as on Halloween this year?
Nothing.
Nothing also.
Wow. 0-3.
I was a witch in our little team meeting. I put a cape on, so.
So you guys dressed up as in like a team meeting. Let's just go with that. What were you guys in this team meeting? You didn't have to dress up like at night. Kyle?
I did not.
Okay. Ayana, did you? No? Yes? No?
I was a twin with Anatobi.
A twin with Anatobi?
Yes. Okay.
I would have thought you would have said with Ryan Fields, but okay. All right. Chris?
I dressed up in a Hawaiian shirt. I was on vacation.
Very good. Yeah. Favorite type of candy?
Reese's peanut butter cups.
Candy corn.
Kit Kat.
Peanut butter M&Ms.
Okay. What restaurant do you eat at way too often?
Subway.
Okay.
Panda Express.
Rubio's.
Honestly, we've almost stopped going out during the pandemic now, but when I was in college, it was Taco Bell, unfortunately.
Taco Bell's a good one. If you could pick any kitchen utensil to replace your hands, what would you choose? What was that?
Spoon.
Spoon. Okay.
I'm thinking of fork.
Okay.
Yeah, fork.
Something with like a hook. You know what I mean? You gotta like open doors and stuff. It's hard to do with a spoon.
So. Probably find a way to do that with a fork, but I can't think of anything. Hook. I'm sure there is things with hooks in the kitchen. I just don't spend a lot of time in the kitchen. Okay. So that was rapid fire. Moving on to our final little section of the broadcast that I started 2 weeks ago. We're going to do some trivia. And in recognition of Election Day, because today is Election Day, we're going to play state capital trivia.
You know Bradford is the best person ever at this, right? He knows everyone.
I'll keep him out of it sometimes, kind of like I had to do with Lauren. Just, okay, sit out these couple of few. Obviously, if Chris gets up to, you know, 8 or 9, then he's done playing and it's on the rest of you guys. So, so for this game to work, to buzz in with your answer, you will yell your name and raise your hand at the same time. So Tyler, okay? And you must let me finish saying the question before you buzz in, okay? Person with the most points will, at the end, will advance to the championship trivia episode of the broadcast to be played sometime later in the spring. Okay, make sense? All right, are you guys ready? State capital trivia. California.
Imani.
Kyle.
Sacramento.
There you go. Minnesota.
Chris.
Oh. Chris.
St. Paul.
Very good.
Got that wrong.
North Dakota.
Chris.
Chris.
Bismarck.
Okay. I see what you guys are saying now. Okay, all right. Wyoming.
Kyle. Cheyenne.
There you go. Chris, sit out for this one. Hawaii.
Imani.
Imani.
Honolulu?
Yes.
Okay.
Chris, you'll sit out for this one too, because I think you know this one really well. Colorado.
Kyle. Is it Colorado Springs?
No. Colorado. Oh, no. Just think of the biggest city in Colorado. Oh.
Kyle.
Oh, Denver. Oh, oops.
Well, since Kyle already answered, yeah, it was up to Ayana or Imani. So, okay, I'll give that to Imani.
Sorry.
Denver, Colorado, yes. Montgomery.
That's Alabama, but that's not a state.
I'll give that to Kyle. I'm switching it up on you guys, you know, making you guys think, okay, that was, I make the rules here. This is my broadcast, okay? All right, so right now, Chris, Imani, and Kyle are tied at 2 apiece. Ayana, let's go. Maryland.
Chris. Annapolis.
Yes. New Jersey.
Chris. Trenton.
Very good. Ayana. This one's for you.
Oh, God.
Get you on the board. Arizona. Biggest city in Arizona.
Ooh, is it Phoenix?
There you go. Okay. On the board. Good work. Okay. Chris, sit this one out. Texas.
Kyle. Austin.
Correct. Chris, sit this one out as well. Washington.
Imani.
Imani.
Seattle.
No. Yeah, that one might be tough. Oh, what? Wow. Elementary school is a long time ago, I guess, apparently. Okay, Olympia. Olympia is the state capital of Washington. So, all right. Everyone loses points there. Except Chris. Augusta.
Kyle.
Kyle.
Georgia.
No.
Chris.
Chris.
Maine.
Correct. There is an Augusta in Georgia, yes. But
yeah, the golf course. Yeah.
Carson City.
Kyle.
Kyle.
Nevada.
Very good. Juneau.
Kyle.
Kyle.
Alaska.
Very good. The rest of these are real tough. Rhode Island.
Idaho. And wait, oh wait.
No, no, Rhode Island.
How you said?
That's minus. You got a minus a point now. You know what? That's another minus. Okay. Wait. Anyone else? Rhode Island.
Chris.
Chris.
Providence.
There you go. Sit this one out, Chris. Utah. Utah.
Only think of one city in Utah.
Salt Lake City. How about that one?
Yeah.
Okay, one more. I had a bunch more, but I don't know where to go. We're not going too well on this one. Chris, sit this one out too. Oregon.
Kyle.
Kyle.
Portland.
No. Ayana or Imani. Salem. Salem. Salem, Oregon. Yeah, that might have been a tough one too. Anyway. Well, that was state capital trivia. Congratulations. Chris wins 6 points. Kyle, you have 2. Ayana, 0. And Imani, you ended up with negative points. So good work. I'll give it to you. I knew that would probably be tough because probably the last time you guys had thought about all that stuff is elementary school. So the fact that some of you got some of those right, good work. That was the Broncast. Thank you for being with me. Head cross country and track and field coach, Chris Bradford, seniors, Kyle Lawson and Imani Williams, and sophomore Ayanna Fields. Thank you for being with me today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
That'll do it for episode number 10 of the Broncast. I want to thank Coach Bradford, Kyle Lawson, Imani Williams, and Ayanna Field for joining me on Election Day 2020. For new episodes of the Broncast each week, make sure to visit our website at broncoathletics.com/podcast and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at our handle CPP Broncos. Weekly podcasts are also available for free download on Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, TuneIn, and iHeartRadio. For everyone in the CPP Department of Intercollegiate Athletics, I'm Tyler Lobe, encouraging you to make it a great day, reminding you that Black Lives Matter, and as always, go green, go gold, go Broncos.